Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
We also do in the summertime baptisms down at the river. We've only lost a couple people. They'll float back around eventually. They'll come back around eventually and stuff. Just I'm full of pastor jokes today, aren't I? Not very funny, but I'm full of pastor jokes. Let me just sit here and let's just pray for a second. Let's just see something. We're going to do something a little bit different. I have a really good sermon, kind of. I don't ever like fully plan a sermon. I kind of plan one, and then we just go with what happens. And Lord willing, we'll do it next week. So guys, I'm going to scratch I'm telling you, it's really good stuff. Open your Bible to Exodus. I just sense the Lord doing something unique. I promise you, and anyone who knows me understands this, I don't just do stuff because it's tradition or because it's, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but a lot of people do stuff because it's time to do this or whatever. So just because we're talking about baptism, or just because we're having baptisms today, I'm telling you, I was not planning on sharing about this. But I sense God is doing something. And he was doing something in my other sermon because it was good too. But I think he's doing something specific. And anytime I sense him doing that, I want to go with that kind of flow, because if he's changing it because you're here, I don't want you to miss your opportunity. Because if he's changing my intellectually awesome sermon that I was about to do because you're here, then I want you to take note. Exodus 3, we know this story. This is the story of Exodus chapter 3. This is where Moses is out in the wilderness. Moses was a son of Egypt. He was a Hebrew child by birth, but he was, by being raised, a son of Egypt, adopted into Egypt, became a prince of Egypt, which isn't that the coolest movie ever, Prince of Egypt? It's very good. If you've never watched the movie Prince of Egypt, the cartoon one, go watch it. It's incredible. I love it. But so he was raised as a son of Egypt, adopted into Egypt, but then he found out about his birth and about who he really was and had a real battle with that and a battle through all this stuff and began to realize that he really was a Hebrew, an Israelite. And the Israelites in the land of Egypt were slaves at that time and not treated well at all. And Pharaoh, who was the leader of Egypt, didn't like the Hebrews and enslaved them and had taskmasters that would harass them and torment them as they would just build another brick for the pyramids and for Pharaoh. And this whole story of Exodus in the Bible, for every generation that comes into existence, has this story of God's deliverance of the people of God, the Hebrew people, the Israelite people, delivering them out of Egypt. And what happens is Moses, when he found out who he really was and he was wrestling with this, saw a taskmaster, Pharaoh's taskmaster, harassing a fellow Hebrew, and something inside of him rose up and said, this isn't right. I've got to do something. So he went to defend the Hebrew and ended up killing the taskmaster. And then he was so fearful, he fled. And he went 40 years in the wilderness, and a whole new life was built for him in the wilderness. And then 40 years goes by, and he has an encounter with God that we're about to read about. And the 1-2 skip a few is after this encounter with God, the encounter with God set in place the next 40 years. And basically what God did was had Moses leave Egypt and go on a 40-year journey and be at this mountain that we are about to see a burning bush, and God gives him a command. God gives him a command to go back to where he had came from 40 years earlier and say, Pharaoh, let God's people go. And then the next 40 years is about Israel coming out of Egypt, going through the wilderness. And I just believe what the Lord wants to do for some of you today is give you a burning bush. Stop my sermon, which is, again, is really good. And you're going to want to be here for it next week. And give you a burning bush. And so he says in Exodus chapter 3, look in verse, the whole thing is really good. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, when he's writing this, it wasn't called the mountain of God. Like, in that day, they weren't like, hey, let's go up to the mountain of God. Like, I grew up around an area called Stone Mountain in Georgia. Anybody know who Stone Mountain in Georgia? You know, we call it Stone Mountain and stuff, but we didn't, you know, it's not like they called this place the mountain of God. It wasn't called the mountain of God. Moses writing this is, he's writing the testimony after the story happened. So it's only called the mountain of God after God did something powerful at that mountain. And I love how God can redefine things in our lives. So I look, because for the rest of Moses' life, that's the mountain of God. That's the mountain of God. And I believe for some of you today, something is going to change in you. And something, instead of just coming in with a complacency and coming in with just a normalcy and coming in with, oh, I just go to church on Sunday morning, that God's going to redefine what it means to you, because he's going to give you a burning bush. And what's going to happen inside of you is you hear stuff, something's going to start burning inside of you, and it's going to be the Lord saying, I'm burning in you. And it'll redefine what it means to be in church for you. And now it'll be, this is the house of the Lord. So, the mountain of God, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? And the Lord saw that he turned. If you got a Bible, you can write and underline that. The Lord saw that he turned aside to look. I believe if Moses would not have stopped and turned to see, then the rest of the story would not have taken place. God sees when you turn. God sees when you turn to take a closer look. And then God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses. Now, it's written twice. It's written twice. He didn't say it twice. It's written twice. A Bible writer would usually write something twice or three times if they wanted to emphasize it, like we would bold it or underline it or highlight it. So it's written twice, so you know he said it once with some passion. So he didn't say Moses, Moses. He said Moses. That's awesome. I love it. I love it. Said Moses. And then he goes on and he says, and Moses said, here I am. And I'm telling you, I think this is prophetic for somebody right now. Maybe it's you watching at home. I don't know. But if it is you watching at home, the next week you better get here because I stopped the whole sermon just for you. He said, here I am. Here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off of your feet, for the place in which you stand is holy ground. Now, what that meant in that day, I don't have time to show you the other scriptures, but taking your sandals off, taking your shoes off is a thing of saying, I give up my rights. I give up my rights. I'm taking my sandals off. And it's a statement in that culture of saying, I'm surrendering, I'm submitting, and I'm giving up my rights. You are an authority. So it's really cool to me that God's about to change his walk. And what he says is, take off your shoes. Because the place where you are standing is holy ground. I'm going to tell you right now, I think even in what I think the Lord is doing today, that when you have an open Bible and you're with the people of God and we come to break bread, and I don't care if it's in a house, if it's in a church building, if wherever, but when the people of God get around the Word of God to share together about the Word of God, there needs to be a reverence of this is holy ground. This is holy ground. Verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And what that means, God is introducing himself, saying, listen, I am the God of your fathers. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, meaning what I do in one life is what I do is generational. I'm not just the God of Abraham, because what I did in Abraham didn't stay with Abraham. What I did in Abraham went to Isaac, and what I did with Isaac didn't stay with Isaac. What I did with Isaac went to Jacob. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What he's saying is I'm generational. And the reason I'm standing before you today is because a bunch of other people stood before me to give me the opportunity to stand before you. And now that I'm standing before you and getting your attention with a burning bush, I'm going to be also the God of Moses. And you got a beard, so it works out. So I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I was in all of their lives so I could show up in your life. I just wonder who God had to lead, who God had to save, who God had to deliver, and what God had to do just to get to the point where he could offer you an invitation to walk with him. And all the people he has in mind, of all the people he will reach, if you accept your burning bush. You think God can't use me? There's no way. Look at my life. Look at what's going on. No way God can use me. That's a lie from hell. That is a lie from the enemy. That is a lie. If God can use a son of Egypt, he can use you. And I have in my heart this morning, I'm telling you, I have in my heart this morning all the people who will get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus because you turned aside to follow the Lord. I just love that. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid. There is that respect. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. I'm telling you, What the Lord is interrupting me with today, because I wasn't thinking it, I wasn't planning it, is the Lord knows your sorrows. He knows your pain. He knows your taskmasters. And He is not the one causing you pain. He is not the source of that pain. He's the one who sees the pain and sees how you've been lied to by the taskmasters of the spirits and powers of darkness that have been lying to you and hijacking you and lying to you about who God is, trying to make you blame everything on God when they're the ones that are doing it. Lying to you about who you are, about who God is, and about what God wants to do in your life. And He comes down and He says, listen, I have heard. I have seen, and I know your pain. I know. Anytime you ever feel like God does not understand what you're going through, you are wrong. You've been lied to. I know their sorrows. I know their pain. Verse 8, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land into a good and a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the all the ites. So He's at this burning, the bush is burning. Moses turned to see it, and God is speaking to him, take your sandals off. This is holy ground. What I'm doing right now is holy. What I'm doing in you is holy, and what I'm about to do through you is holy. And so he's lighting this fire, man. He's lighting this fire. Moses is sitting there like, I don't know how many times Moses probably been by that same bush, been by that same mountain. And now this is the mountain of God. And he says, I've seen. He's speaking to Moses about realities that are 40 years ago. It's been a long time since Moses has been in Egypt. And he could have very well said, Lord, I know they're good, but I can't go back there. Nope. And at this point in the conversation, Moses might even be thinking, be really happy. Like, oh, so you're going to go. Because God says, I've come down to deliver them. So Moses is probably like, awesome, man. I'm so glad you're going to go do something about this. You go, God. You go deliver them. Yay, God, you go. I'll stay right here. You go deliver them. And then watch what happens next. Verse 9. Now. Somebody say now. Man, faith is always now. Now. Therefore, behold. What behold means is you see. Like you see. Like Moses, I want you to see. The cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians have oppressed them. Verse 10, come now. You've turned to see what I'm doing. Now I'm inviting you to come now. Take a step in this new direction. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh. Hold up. What you talking about, God? I was good when you was going. But how in the world are you going to send me? How in the world are you going to send me? You know what this church is full of? People who were delivered out of a bondage that most churches are even ashamed to have you in. But this, because you didn't just lightly take hold of the Lord, you grabbed hold of the Lord like you used to grab hold of some other stuff. You changed your source. And what happens is the enemy regrets the years that he kept you in bondage because you now have an authority and a unique power and authority in that realm of darkness. So you can walk right back up into the hood. You can walk right back up into the addiction, walk right back up into the problem and into the sinful area. And you can stand there victorious, delivered, and pure, being separate from them but sent to them at the very same time and say, Pharaoh, let God's people go. I'm not sitting here with a theory, Pharaoh. I'm not sitting here because I read something on Google. I'm not sitting here with a theory about salvation. What I'm telling you is I have been delivered and the deliverer has sent me. So I'm saying we're getting out of Dodge. We're getting out of here. And the enemy will regret the years that he put you in bondage, because all that hell on earth is now working to release heaven on earth and bring people out of that hell. And the reason I got authority in that is because I understand. You might not understand this. You think I've always been a pastor. I ain't always been a pastor. I know I dress real nice and I have intelligent sermons and I'm very intellectual and all that stuff. I get it. I got that pastor vibe going on. I get it. But I ain't always been a pastor. I was raised in a home where my father was a horrific. He was a great man in many aspects, loved us, but he had a demon of alcoholism. And the alcoholism in his life ruined his life and was trying to ruin our life. And I went down that same road at a young age, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and found myself at a rehab before I was 16. Dropped out of high school, doing all kinds of drugs I'm not going to mention in here because the kids is in here. And I'll never forget when I reached out to that bottle that time, that there was a hand, a demonic hand in that bottle that reached out and grabbed hold of me. And it was Jesus. I did AA, I did NA, did all that stuff. I'm not against those things. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not against those things. But for me, when the God of my understanding, when my understanding of my God grew, all of a sudden what happened was I had a burning bush experience and he changed my life forever. Forever. And so now when somebody comes up to me and they're like, well, I'm struggling with this or I'm struggling with that, it's like, oh my, yeah, praise the Lord. And they're like, that's what? I just said I'm struggling with all. Yeah, but he brought you to me. So what that means is he's done with your struggling. He's done with you struggling. And it's time for you to get out. It's time for you to get out. Now, you got a part to play. Moses had to turn around and see the bush. Then he had to come over with God. There's some steps that you got to take. But if you're willing to take the step, he's willing to bring deliverance. And he will operate at the speed of your faith. Tell you right now, he's going to operate at the speed of your faith. And faith works. Faith doesn't just hope. Faith works. Faith acts. Faith turns. Faith comes. Faith takes off your rights and say, I give up my rights. I surrender. And I realize you're about to change my walk. Faith acts. And the 1-2 skip a few benefit of this is God's going to be the deliverer. He's always the deliverer. We're never the deliverer. He's always the deliverer. Without him, we can deliver, you know, the only thing we can deliver is like, what's that thing that when you order food? What's that service? You order food, they bring food. DoorDash. Praise the Lord. We're getting so, listen, I'm getting to a point, you know, like Prime and all that kind of stuff we got now. We're getting to the point in America, it's like, I want you to deliver the food to me before I order it. Anyway, that's another story. So the reality is that he's the deliverer, but the reality also is he will deliver through the deliverance that he's worked in my life. And I show up with not a theory, but I show up with a God experience. And I say, you can be free if you want to be free, but you're going to have to take the same steps that I did to the same Lord that I did. Let's go. And then the person who's over here like, no, but you don't understand. That's where I just want to break them off something. Oh, I don't understand. Oh, because I'm Pastor John and I got a nice suit on. I don't understand. I don't understand what you've been through. I don't understand all the darkness. What you talking about? Of course I understand. There's one of us who don't understand. And I'm trying to enlighten your understanding. And your willful holding to ignorance is what's keeping you in your oppression. And everybody in your life wants you out but you. And the day you want out, you're out. That's what happens at baptism. Sarah, remember we went up to, what place in Indiana did we go to? And that one lady, you know, you remember what her name was? What was it? Edie. We were up in teaching baptism at a church in Indiana. Some of y'all know Jeff Carroll's church. He pastors up there. And we were doing a baptism service up there. And we'd, you know, hold them down to the bubble stop, all that. Pastor jokes are awesome. And we did, and it was just really cool because they had never baptized people, you know, when worship was going on. So the way we do it here was like, they were blown away of doing it that way because we're worshiping and just celebrating God and honoring his presence and baptizing people at the same time. And, you know, you got a little splash zone going on. It's all cool. And so this lady comes up, Edie comes up, and they told us about her. So she was a high school cheerleader, was beautiful. She's a high school cheerleader, but she got strung out on drugs. And she's a couple years out of high school, and she I think even had a scholarship or something and forsook that because of these drugs that she was on. And she was just, and so they said, she wants to be baptized. And so they brought her up, and she looked like just death. I mean, she came in, just looked just like a zombie. And she just came up just walking, and I'm like, hey, you know, and she just, I mean, am I right? She just was non-responsive. And they talked to her, and I think she verbalized like they said, do you believe in Jesus? Yes. But that was it. She looked like a zombie. And she verbalized yes, because you don't just go baptize people hoping something's going to happen. They got to have faith in Christ, you know. And so you don't just, Lord, I hope this works, and throw them in. And I love when the kids laugh. I love it when the kids laugh. And so she goes, and it was, wasn't it heroin? Yeah, she was on heroin, and she just had ruined her life, all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And she was just, they had to help her in, and she got in, and they baptized her. The church is worshiping. The church is praising God, and they baptized her. She came up out of that water, and I'm telling you, I don't like when pastors and people get real creative and say stuff that's not true. I'm telling you in Jesus' name, this is what happened. She came up, and she was immediately sober. Her eyes, everything was different. She was immediately sober. Everyone's sitting there just like, you know, praise God. And it's been how many years since? 10 years. 8 to 10 years later, she's married, has kids. Her life has totally changed. Oh, and a ministry. Sure, she's in the ministry too. We've seen stuff like that happen in Mexico when we've been down there, and we've seen it happen here, y'all. We've seen this kind of stuff happen here. We've seen people bombarded with thoughts of suicide that understand there's not nothing magical about the water. There's no special sauce in the water. It's faith in the deliverer. And people who believe it is finished. It's done. In the authority of Christ, it's finished. And then they choose when the enemy wants to restart it back up. No, it's finished. And the next day, no, it's finished. No, it's finished. We've had people go back to the riverfront years after they've been baptized, take their kids and their grandkids and say, this is where Poppy died. Because when God does a work in a person's life to get their attention in a burning bush and to come say, I have come down to deliver you, when he delivers you, you're delivered. Him who the Son sets free is free indeed. So he says, I've come down to deliver you, and he said, and that to deliver them, and now I send you to Pharaoh. That's what he said. Now I send you to Pharaoh. And then Moses, but that's where his stuttering started. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? See, when you're faced with your destiny, you will question your identity. Telling you, man. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out to Egypt? And he said, I will certainly be with you, and this will be a sign to you that I have sent you, that when you've brought the people out of Egypt, and you shall worship or serve God on this mountain. So what God is saying is, I want you to go bring the people to where you are. I don't think y'all heard me. See, sometimes we get places, we come, we're in church, and we got our family, everything's so good. We're going to go to Cracker Barrel after service because Chick-fil-A's closed. And we're good. We're good. No major pain, no major issue. It's all, you know, we get to be about our comfort. And what we don't understand is every season in our life when we realize, God, thank you for bringing me here. Thank you that you brought me out of all these different things. That God brought you here to bring others here. And that where you are is the place where others need to be. And I now send you. Who, me? Yes, you. I thought you sent Pastor John. I thought you sent somebody else. And I'm telling you in Jesus' name, he says, no, I send you. Because he saved you. To send you. And once you get a purpose bigger than your past, you'll never be a victim to your past any longer. You'll never be a victim to it. Certainly I'll be with you. This will be a sign. You bring them back to this mountain. Verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you, and they say to me, and I hear them talking like this, like when I come to them and they say, and God, what, I don't understand. Like what is his name? What shall I say to them? Like, this ain't going to go well, God. When I go back and say, hey, the deliverer, Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he just chose me. No, he didn't choose you. He chose me. He chose me to go back. What you talking about, Moses? Chose you. I know you. I know you. That's one of the biggest sins that the church has done. Somebody comes and gives their life to Jesus. And I'm telling you, when these people go into this tank, it's a different person coming out. And we don't need to hold their past against them and say, well, you can't do that because I know what you've done. I know. Come on, please. I know. Yeah, you can come in church and yes, but really, he ain't going to do all that because look at what you've done. That's hindering the ability of God. Oh, Lord Jesus. And he goes on, verse 14. So that's, he's like, what am I going to say to the children of Israel? What am I going to say to the people I walk with? And then verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Now, in Hebrew, it's a haya. It's the word. If I pronounce it right, I'm probably terrible at pronouncing it. But what it means, it's a present tense word. And here's how I define it. It's a present tense word of his present tense being. And here's how I redefine this, is when God says, I am who I am, what he's saying is, I can be a Moses if I want to. Meaning, I will be personally present in your life. I am. I am. Looks like Moses. Acts like Jesus. God's saying, I am. Who I am, meaning I will choose who I want to choose, I will use who I want to use, and I can be a Moses. I can deliver through Moses if I want to. Oh, it's just so good to me. And then verse 15, Moses, like, you know, said, well, thus he shall say to the children of Israel, is what God said to him, verse 15. Then the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you, and this is my name, you know, forever, and it's a memorial and stuff. So this whole story, he's telling them, I'm going to send you. And then what happens, one, two, skip a few, is Moses goes and the 10 plagues, you know the whole story. But his thing was this, his declaration was standing before Pharaoh was, Pharaoh, let God's people go. Let my people go. It was an intercessory prayer. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, under the authority of the Lord, he stood before Pharaoh, walked right up into Pharaoh's courts and said as an intercessory prayer, Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh represents Satan. And the Israelites who were enslaved in Egypt represent all of us who are born in sin. I don't know the sin that you were born into. I told you a little bit about mine, but we're all born in sin. We're all born slaves of sin. I don't care what family. All of us are born slaves of sin and in desperate need of a deliverer. Amen. And so he comes and he says, let God's people go. And if you have a loved one or a friend or a person that you love, but they don't follow Jesus, your prayer over their life could be, you don't got to go say this to them because they'll think you're weird, but you say it over their life in prayer. Pharaoh, over my sister, over my cousin, over my friend, over my coworker, I tell you in Jesus' name, let God's people go. Let Becky go. Let David go. Let them go. I'm standing in the authority of one who's been set free. I've been on the mountain with God. And I'm saying in Jesus' name, let him go. Let him go. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's hard to know what to do with them when they do leave. And when they come out, okay, now what am I going to do with them? And there's been some people, I'm not talking about you, but maybe somebody you know, that when they've come out, it's like, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? Go back. I don't know what to do with you. It gets overwhelming sometimes to lead people. But it's not hard to lead people who have a passion for their promised land. Because they're just going to go whether you're going or not. And so, what ends up happening, one, two, skip a few, what ends up happening is he leads them out. The Passover, the blood of the Lamb. They take the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They take the blood of the Passover Lamb and they put it on the doorpost of their house in the shape of the cross, basically. And the blood of the Lamb, all symbolic of Jesus Christ. And then they take the Lamb and they eat the Lamb. So the Lamb is in them and the Lamb is over the doorpost of their house. And judgment comes that night because there must be judgment because God is just. He's just. But he gave not only the Israelites, but even the Egyptians could have partaken in the Passover, but they chose not to. And so judgment comes to release a freedom. And those who had the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb on the door of their house and the Lamb on the inside of them, they were free to go. And as they went, they marched and they went and they were free. And then they went to the Red Sea, and they came to the Red Sea. Pharaoh changed his mind. He came after him. So now they're at the Red Sea. They can't go forward, but they don't want to go back. And now Pharaoh and all his army is chasing after them. You know the story. And God tells Moses, basically, take his staff and stick it in the water. Why do you stand there? Why do you stand there? Go forward. It's like, what do you mean why I stand here? I don't walk on water. What do you mean why I stand? I stand here because I don't have any other options. And God says, oh, no, you're not checking all your resources. Take the staff. Take what's in your hand. Take what I gave you. Remember the mountain, Moses? Take what I gave you and stick it in this water. And when he stuck it in the water split, and the Israelites walked across on dry ground. And then when the Pharaoh and all his chariots and horsemen and came to chase after them, which represents demonic powers trying to keep you in your unsaved past. When they walk through and they got to the other side and they're standing up now on the other side and Pharaoh and his horsemen and all of them came, the waters closed in on them. And I'm telling you, the Israelites that day, your Bible says it, that day they looked. The waters came back over and they looked. They looked back. They looked back at their past And what they saw was Pharaoh and all his taskmasters dead. What they saw is, it is finished. And now they turned. I'm going to start walking with God. That's a picture of water baptism. The Red Sea is a picture of water baptism. It doesn't save you. You're saved by the blood of the Lamb. And many of you are here, and maybe you were baptized as a kid, and it was cute, but it wasn't supernatural. Maybe you were baptized. Somebody wanted you to get baptized more than you wanted to get baptized. And you got wet, and you took a bath, which you probably needed one. But you didn't do what I just talked about. There's a handful of people planning to get baptized today. And worship team, go ahead and come on up. But I want to talk to the people who you didn't come preparing to be baptized. And God just gave you a burning bush. And you thought you could hide out in church one more week. And you've been burning inside as I've been talking. Not because of me, but because of what the Lord is doing in your life. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is, spiritually, not physically, take your shoes off. Recognize this is a holy moment. Turn and see. And if you know the Lord has been calling you, if you're here, and you know He's been calling you, and you've never given your life to the Lord. You've never like surrendered your life. I'm not talking about I try to clean my life. I try to cuss less or do better. I'm not talking about trying to fix your life. That's a wasted effort. I'm talking about surrendering your life to Jesus. Saying, my successes and my failures, I lay down at your feet. And I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm tired of running. I come to lay myself at your feet. Or maybe you're here and it's like you know you're a believer, but you've not been following Jesus and you know you're still hanging around your Egypt. You're saying I'm saved, waiting for Jesus to come take you to heaven one day when you die. But the reality is you have no idea how to walk with Jesus. And you are stuck and you feel like a prisoner. And you don't have a supernatural, it is finished, line in the sand, Red Sea. You don't have one of that. Now listen, if you've been baptized and you knew what you were doing, but this is just a fresh reminder and like, oh, that's a great reminder. You don't have to get baptized again. Matter of fact, I get nervous over people who are like, this is my sixth time I've been baptized. But if you know that the Lord is speaking to you, then return and come and say in a declaration of faith, I don't know all that's going to happen, but I know this. I cannot go with God and stay where I am. And that means your pride, that means what other people think has got to be just crucified. And you have to make a decision to say, it is finished. Whatever it is in your life, whatever would be on your stone, it is finished. And today I give my life to Jesus, or today I give my life back to Jesus. And I want to walk through the waters of baptism. You have two options. You can make the commitment today and either be baptized today, or you make the commitment today and you can be baptized next week. But I'm going to urge you for today, because I know if I give you a week, well, I don't have any clothes. Somebody's thought of that. We have some medical scrubs that are dark and not see-through that you can put on and you can be baptized today. Church family, what would you say if somebody came who wasn't planning on being baptized to say, you know what, Pastor John, you're talking to me. I want to do it. Okay. So, if there's anybody here, not the ones that are already being baptized. The ones already being baptized, go ahead and come up here. Go ahead and come up here. The ones already being baptized. Come on, go ahead and come on up here. Yeah, bring your stone, bring your stuff. Yeah, bring your stuff. You're about to go get wet. And parents or family members, when they go back, they're going to go back this door right here, and then we'll baptize them. Their image and stuff will be on the screen. And really, if you want a good picture, take a picture of the screen. That's the best way to get an image. Those who've been baptized, come on, don't be scared. Come on. Come now. So if you're here and you are not planning on baptized and you know God's been speaking to you and you need to join them, either by being baptized today or by being baptized next week, I want you to get up out of your chair and come meet us up front. Just get up and use your legs and walk. Get up if anybody is here. If anybody's here, you know he's speaking to you. Just get up, walk. Get up and walk. Don't you do it for me. Michael Reagan, I'll get you baptized again. Don't you be walking around. There's anybody else, if there's anybody else. Seriously, I know this is an awkward time. It's like, in front of everybody, but I'm telling you, the Lord interrupted me today. And I'm totally good. I'm not going to be insecure. I'm totally good if nobody comes. Totally cool, because I know I did what I was supposed to do. But if there's anybody, you need to come now. And you need to get up and you need to walk right here. If you suddenly feel nauseated, I'm talking to you. I'm okay with awkward. I'm okay with it. Because here's what's going to happen. You come to me after service. Pastor John, I think you were talking to me. After I pick you up off the ground, I'm going to be like, bro. So just now, if it's you and you know the Lord's calling you, get up and come now. And if there's nobody, I'm totally cool. I just believe there is somebody. Praise the Lord. You believe in Jesus? Is it you coming, or you're all coming? Both. Both. That's awesome. I want you to do me a favor, though. I want you to just unlock arms, and you stand right here, and you come stand over here. Like, stand separate, yeah. I love the support for one another. Love it. Love the encouragement. And as you go into this water, though, it's you and the Lord. It's you and the Lord. And he sends people around you to partner with you and help you and encourage you and all that kind of stuff. But it's you. It's you. He calls you by name. It's you. You believe in Jesus? Do you believe that God raised him from the dead after being crucified on a cross? Do you believe he died for you? That he didn't do what you did? But he took your sin by faith. And what he's asking you to do is to take his life, take his righteousness by faith. You can't earn it. Nothing you do to earn it. But he says, receive it by faith. So some of the prayer team and come on. They're going to talk to you and get you ready, get you in a different change of clothes. They're going to make sure your heart understands exactly what you're doing so that when you are in that tank, it's a declaration of faith for your life. And you are saying goodbye to your past and walking with Jesus into all that he plans for you for your future. Amen. So there's Yvonne right here. She's going to help you and get you guys ready. Those who are being baptized, everybody else in the house, let's stand up. And being baptized, stand up. And you guys being baptized, go ahead and walk through that door, follow Sarah right there. I want to pray, and we're going to start worshiping the Lord. And guys, as we worship, we'll see them baptized. And as they're being baptized, church, do your thing. You know how it is. Do your thing. Worship the Lord. Celebrate the Lord. And if you need to come to an altar for prayer, you come and you lay down something, let it go, do whatever you need to do. Matter of fact, let me get a couple altar team workers up front here that you can stand here and pray. If you need prayer for anything, if you need prayer for anything, if sickness is attacking your body, come receive prayer. If you need prayer for anything, there'll be a couple of people up here that come receive prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we celebrate your life. We celebrate the life of Christ. And Father, we thank you for your resurrection power at work. We thank you for your glorious might at work. That you are the deliverer and that you are using us. You're delivering us and delivering people through us. And I thank you for every soul being baptized today. That your glory will fill their life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's worship the Lord, y'all.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.